Well, today's question is a really important question. I think it's a big key question for us in our relationship with Christ. This question has come to me a number of times on the fill in the I got a question about God sheets. It's come a bunch of different ways. How can I grow in my faith? How can I know God in a personal way? How can I have an intimate relationship with God? Everybody has this desire, this idea of how can I know God more than I know Him today? And the beautiful thing about God is you can know Him more than you know Him today. There's always more to God. No matter how much you know, there's always more ahead of you. There's always more that He wants for us. So today we're going to talk about this key word, intimacy. Not just to have a casual relationship with Him, not just know about Him, but how can I have an intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe? It's a great privilege that we have today. Well, you know that I'm a lover of words, and I don't like us moving forward with different definitions of words. So let's take a look at what dictionary.com defines intimacy as. It is a close, familiar, and unusually affectionate or loving personal relationship with another person. Now, this is not just a distant understanding of someone. This is not just a basic knowledge of them. It's close, it's familiar, and unusually affectionate. We can have this kind of relationship with God. If we have an intimate relationship with another person, it's pretty easy to tell we have this, right? It's the kind of relationship where you know each other really well. It's one that you spend a lot of time together. It's the kind of relationship where you can answer one another's sentences or questions, complete sentences. I love one of the things that Sandra and I have developed over the last 25 years. It's almost 25 years already. It's crazy. Is ability to know where we're going in thoughts, to know where we're going in conversations, to be able to give a half a thought and the other person to start answering the question already, because we know each other really, really well. We love to spend time together. We have interests that are the same. Not all of them. I don't like to quilt and she doesn't like to play hockey, but for the most part, we do things that we like to do together. And that's part of intimacy. Now, it didn't start that way. My relationship with her was started as two strangers. Started with eye contact. Wish Carla was here. We were at a relationship under construction banquet this week, and it had a relationship ladder. And it said the first thing anybody has in a relationship together is eye contact. That's the first thing. Thought it was pretty neat to see that. So we made eye contact, and I was in love, and I tracked her down and invited her out on a date, and the whole story comes out. You know, week after week, we had date after date, phone conversation after phone conversation, time together after time together, and as time went on, we started to get to know each other better. We started to know what each other's interests were. We started to know what each other's passions were, what it was to know each other, and as time has gone on, we have gotten to know each other a lot better every year. It was about 2 years ago that she and I made the understanding that we came to this place at the same time, that we had come to a place where we knew each other better than we had known anyone else ever. And we said, we're still getting to know each other more. We're still growing in intimacy. There's still more to a relationship for us to build into. And in our marriage, we realize that we never get to the place where we're done growing closer together in intimacy. And we can have that same relationship with God. It's easy for us to do. We just need to do the work. Well, as we look at this intimate relationship with God, we see in Scripture that over and over and over again, people had these intimate relationships with God. Now, we always see pictures of people who are willing and obedient to follow after God. We see pictures of people who are interested in knowing more about God. But every once in a while, we get this glimpse into somebody who has a passion to know God in personal and intimate ways. In the Old Testament, it's almost like one at a time had that privilege to be able to do that. It started out with Adam. And I'm amazed, again, to think about this privilege that Adam had to be able to walk and talk in the garden with God. What was that like for him to be able to have this close, personal, intimate relationship with God? Without sin, without any barriers between him, he and God had that perfect connection in the garden. Go a little bit further to Moses. He was one of the guys talked about in that video I showed. Moses had this connection with God that I am envious of. during that time period. You know, it was like one person who was able to talk with God at a time. He was in one place, and people had to come and speak with him. And in that time, it was in the tabernacle, and the Holy of Holies is the place that God's Shekinah glory resided. And once, one at a time, people would be able to go in there and see him. And they went in with great fear. They were afraid that if they went in to be with God, and their hearts weren't prepared for that, they died. But that's not how Moses looked at that. Moses had a connection with God that he would just go into the tabernacle. He would go through the outer courts, into the inner courts, into the Holy of Holies, and just be there with God to talk with him about things without all the preparations that the priests would have to go through in order to be in there. He just wanted to be with God. He had set that relationship with God that he spent 40 days with him out on Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments and just being with God. You know, how long did it take for God to share his law with Moses? Definitely not the whole time. There was times for Moses to just be with God and fellowship with him, to hear his voice and to have a connection with him in that way. So much so that Moses had the audacity to disagree with God and ask God to change his will to match his. That's a close relationship, to be able to do that with God. I'd love to be able to do that, have that connection that Moses had with God. What about David? It said that David had a heart after God. Yet David was so full of mistakes, so full of failure. He had gone and done his own thing, and pride was in his heart, and adulterous affair, and hoping he could move forward in that, and thinking that God wasn't going to hold him accountable for that. Yet in the midst of that, he humbled himself, and God moved in amazing ways. And Scripture says David, too, went to talk with God. And God spoke with David as he led Israel. Great privilege that we have to do that. And then I think of the disciples, and story after story we have in the New Testament of times that the disciples were right there with Jesus, and not so much in the crowd, that wasn't as special, I think, as after, towards the end of the day. In my mind, I like to think about them sitting around the campfire at the end of the day, and the disciples talking with Jesus about their day, and Jesus talking to the disciples about the day. And then most of them going to bed, and Peter, James, and John staying up, or John sitting there saying, "Tell me more, tell me more." I'd love to be able to have that kind of relationship with Christ, to be able to just stay up late into the night and just hear his heart being spoken into my life, for me to share my heart with him, develop that close, intimate relationship. It'd be wonderful to do that. Well, we really do have this privilege to do it today through the power of the Holy Spirit, connecting with God. Well, if somebody came to me and said, "How do I develop a close, intimate, personal relationship with another person?" my answer would be simple. You got to spend time with them. You can't develop intimacy if you're apart from one another. It doesn't work. You have to be together. And it's the same thing for God. We have to be together with him. We must spend time together with God. Some great ways to do that are through prayer, through reading in his word, through worship, times like this, coming together to be part of a church, to be part of the body, times we spend listening to Christian music and reading books about God. All of these things help us develop a close, personal, intimate relationship with God. And it takes an investment to be able to do those things. I had the privilege of serving for 9 years as the program director at the Delta Lake Bible Conference Center. And it would happen every particularly senior high week that we had camp. About 150, 180 campers were there. And they would come to me and they'd say, "PJ, I feel so close to God right now at the end of camp. I feel like he's right next to me. He's speaking into my life. We're so close, connected. How do I keep doing this? How do I continue this once I get home?" And my answer was simple. Well, the things that you did while you're here at camp, you need to keep doing those things after you get home. See, at camp, we had created this environment that was based on God. When they walked in the door, we took their cell phone from them. "No, you can't have this back until camp's over." There was no television. There were no movies. There was no internet connection for them to get into trouble on. There was an environment set up where we spent about 3 hours a day in worship services. In addition to personal devotion time and cabin devotion time, we had these classes set up where you could go and do skills classes. You go and do canoeing or archery or rock climbing or soccer. One of the classes that I taught was how to know God in a deeper way kind of class. And I was impressed one year we had this group of five guys who said, "Is it okay with you if we sign up for every one of your classes?" It was twice a day, and they signed up for that. So they sat there twice a day, in addition to their 3 hours of worship and their personal devotions and their other time of discussion about God, for another 2 hours of deep conversations. And I said, look, some of you are spending 8 hours in God's Word and worship and fellowship and discussion, 8 hours a day in God's Word. That's why you are so close to Him at the end of camp. That's why you're going back into the world saying, I have this close, intimate relationship with God. And what do? They walk out of camp and they pick up their phone and they turn on their computer, and then they think that 15 minutes a day in God's Word is enough for them. No. You can't be close to anybody on 15 minutes a day. You can't. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So we can do the same thing in our lives. We can create an environment where God is on the outside and we spend a little bit of time with Him. Or we can create an environment where we spend a lot of time with God. And when we do that, we have this close, intimate relationship with Him. Well, here's some of my notes. I want to give you these points of ways that we can develop intimacy with God. They start with T. The first one is truth. Second one is transparency. Third one is trust. And the last one doesn't really work, but I had to have something that starts with a T, so I said talk. Communication with God. I'm going to go to the next slide, and we'll continue these on, but you'll see these on the next slide too, okay? So if you didn't write them down, you can get them. The first one is truth. We have to realize that our relationship with God needs to be based on truth. It can't be based on our perception of truth. It has to be on His definition of truth, who He says He is, and how He interacts with us. Too many times we base our relationship with God based on false things, on wrong teaching. We move forward thinking something is going to happen, and it doesn't, because it's not based on truth. We have to let Him define what the truth is. We have to have transparency. We have to be open and honest with God. You can't move forward in any relationship without transparency and develop intimacy. It doesn't work. Every one of us probably have had a situation in life where you trusted somebody with something. It might have been a secret, it might have been an experience, it might have been a thought that you had, and you asked them to hold that for you, and they didn't. They told somebody else, or they caused it to separate relationship between you and them. And that causes us to not trust others, doesn't it? It causes us to be careful about what we say and how we invest. Well, we have to be open and honest with God. We have to speak our heart with Him. Not because He needs to hear it from us so He can know it. No, He knows all things. But it's for us. It's for our benefit. You know, when we pray to receive Christ and we ask Him to forgive us our sins, that forgiveness is for everything. No matter what we do, we still receive His forgiveness. So why do we need to ask for forgiveness every day from Him? For our benefit. So that we can come and be better positioned in line with what He has for us. So we can hear His voice better. We need to make sure that we're positioning ourselves. And we do that in truth and transparency. The next one is trust. Realize that trust is built up over time. Well, if we're based on Christ's truth, we know we can trust Him completely. But see, too many of us don't have a trust relationship with God because we're not basing our relationship with Him on truth. We're basing our relationship with God on who we think God should be or how we think we should interact with Him. Like prayer. So many of us think prayer is a communication one-way channel where we go to God and tell Him what we think He should do, and then we wait for Him to do the things that we asked Him to do. But prayer really is us going to God and asking Him to tell us what He thinks we should do. And then we should do those things. Now, if our basis of truth is backwards, and we move forward with that, trying to develop trust, He doesn't come through on the things we expect Him to. That erodes our trust in Him. But it's not His fault. It's our fault. Because we have not moved forward in truth. These are important things. Talking is an important thing, too. Communication is a two-way street. Think about it. If your family came home today from church and you all went to different rooms and spent the next 10 hours in separate rooms together, you're not going to know each other today. You're not going to talk about what's going on. You need to communicate, and both people need to talk. I don't want you to raise your hand. I did first service, was a mistake. But how many of us have had those relationships where one person does 90% of the talking? How many of us have those relationships where the phone rings and you answer the phone and all you get is, yep. And you can put the phone down and go and do something else and come back and go, How do you think God feels when that's how we talk to Him? And all God's trying to do is say, And then we move forward thinking that we have communicated with God, but we haven't. If you haven't developed listening prayer as part of your spiritual disciplines, I really encourage you to do this, to just be able to sit before the Lord and let Him speak into your life. If this is not something that you do, hit the rewind button and take us back a year. And when we took that opportunity as a church to try to sit before the Lord for 15 minutes in silence and let Him speak to us, see how He moves on your heart. See the things that He teaches you. See the scripture that He brings back to mind. But sit and let Him speak to you as well. We do it through worship. Again, worship is not just us coming together to sing songs about God. Worship is about us connecting with Him. Worship is about everything in our lives, about ways that we can honor Him and glorify Him in all that we do, all the decisions that we make, all the places that we go, all the things that we allow into our minds. We have an opportunity to worship. And our time in Scripture is an important thing. I still remember I was invited to go to a youth pastor conference in our denomination. It was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Probably about 50 of us youth pastors were there. And our Alliance youth director was giving us some training. It was a really great time. I remember Jason Ostrander was his name. He put on a chalkboard, he drew a line, and he put an X on one end and an X on the other, and he labeled one 0 and the other 10. And he said, if this line represents how well you read the Bible every day, how well you do that discipline. If you read the Bible every day, put an X next to 10. If you read the Bible half the week, put it in 5. If you read it like once a week, put it down close to 0. But he had us put an X on the line. Then he drew another line, same thing, 0 to 10. He said, this time rank how effective your time with the Lord is. If every time you hear His voice and every time it's something you really needed to hear and is applicable to your life, then you mark a 10. If most times you come away from reading God's Word and just go, yeah, that was okay, but big deal, mark a 0. He said, and I related to this, our generation has said that that top line is the one that's crucial. Our top line was the one that was most important. How many days a week do you read the Bible was the most important thing. And Jason was saying, I suggest to you the bottom line is the one that we should be focusing on. If all you do is read the Bible once a week, but you come away with powerful, amazing things for you to apply to your life, if you feel God is speaking to your life personally and intimately, that's the important thing. And why would you only read the Bible once a week if you had that kind of relationship with God and experience? No, it would drive you to read the Bible every day. But the other way around just doesn't work. Just reading it every day doesn't lead to a personal, intimate relationship with God. It may, but the goal is not to see how well you read your Bible, or how many Bible verses you memorize, or how many worship songs you know. The goal is intimate relationship with God. That's what we should be shooting for. That's our goal. Being part of the body of Christ is another crucial thing. We need to be together. I was talking with another pastor this week, and he said he's never lived in a place where there's so many people in a community who are Christians who don't go to church. We need to be part of a body of Christ. It's so important for us to be connected. It's so important for us to live with one another and talk with one another and experience life with one another and to be part of each other's lives because we help one another. We're not made to be living life by ourselves. Community is part of what God designed. And the church is this collection of people to do His purposes. We need to be together. And it's part of us having an intimate relationship with Christ to do that. So as I talk with other pastors, I see our community isn't the only one where people are disconnected from church. But it's a crucial thing to say. We need to be part of what God's doing. Now, this is kind of like one of those meters in life. If we're starting here and our goal over there is to be intimate with God, everything that we do in the positive side of that, spending time with Him, reading books about Him, worshiping, it all moves us closer to our goal. But at the same time, the things that we do that erase that intimacy with God take us further from our goal. So it's this constant moving closer and then falling further away and then trying to move closer and then falling further away. And the things that take us away from that relationship with God are sin and fear and false teaching and isolation. You cannot have intimate relationship with God if these are part of your life. You just can't do it. So if we're trying to hold on to sin and not give it over to God, that's going to distance us, because sin, part of sin's penalty is a separation from God. And you can't hold on to sin and hold on to God at the same time. That's not to say we're not going to wrestle, we're not going to struggle, we're not going to grow and be able to be sanctified more into his image. But the point is, if I'm choosing sin, I can't choose God at the same time. I have to pick which one I'm going to grab a hold of. And I think every one of you know what I mean, because there's that moment in your mind where you choose to say no to God and yes to sin, and at that moment you realize you have just stepped further away from him. I know I have. Fear. Fear kind of goes with not having that intimate relationship with God, because if God's calling us to do something and we're afraid to do it, well, that's separating us from him. It's keeping us from him. But when he calls us to do it, we must be obedient to follow in that area, knowing that that obedience is what leads us to more intimate connection with him. False teaching is again, separating us from him. If we're moving forward with this false understanding of who God is, how can we be moving towards intimacy with him? And again, I say we need to let God define who he is. We need to let him tell us what relationship with him looks like. And the best way to do that is through his word. That's what it is. And the last one is isolation. Again, not being able to have a relationship with you by isolating myself from you, that doesn't draw intimacy. That pushes us further away. And the more times we decide to say no to God, to turn down his voice, to hang out by ourselves, to disconnect from other Christians in our lives, the more we are working against our goal of intimate relationship with God. Now, when we're striving for intimate relationship with God and we're close to that, we have these benefits in life that all of us are striving for. This is at the bottom of your notes. I wanted to make sure you had this. The first one is that we can know his will for our lives. So many times people say to me, and it's another question we may tackle next week, how do I know God's will for my life? Well, God's will is best revealed to you through an intimate relationship with him. That's it. And as we know him and as we can hear his voice, as he speaks into our life, then we know his will. Then we can hear it. We also are able to experience freedom from sin, because we can't conquer sin by ourselves. We have to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that conquering comes through intimacy with God. Not a rejection of him, not a separation from him. How many people say, I'm going to clean up my life and then I'm going to go to church. I'm going to clean up my life, I'm going to conquer this sin, and then I will be better connected to God. That doesn't work. That separates us further and further from that intimate relationship. It also helps us develop a deeper purpose in life. I mean, don't you want to have one of those relationships with God where he taps you on the shoulder and he says, I want you to come over here and I want you to do this thing, and he sends somebody else into your life and that what seems like a coincidental circumstance, but it can't be because it's only from God how he does that, where you happen to say something that people needed to hear, or you happen to be somewhere specifically where God wanted you to be. I'm always amazed when we go on prayer walks. And we'll just be praying and asking God to show us what he wants us to do. And we'll walk up to somebody and say, hey, I'm on a prayer walk. Can I pray for you? And how many times did that person say, I was just asking God for help. I'm here. He sent me. Why did he do that? I have no clue, because I'm not qualified for this. But here, let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. Let me teach you. Let me bless you. That comes through that personal, intimate relationship with God that he uses us to do those things. Ultimately, we're seeking his kingdom. We're watching his kingdom expand in us and through us through that intimate relationship with God. I recommend to you that that should be a goal that we have. It should be something that we really work hard at. And just like those kids that come home from camp and say, I can't do it. Can't wait to go to camp next time. That's where I'm going to get connected with God again. How long do they have to wait? A year. That's a long time. But you know what was neat? After a cycle of time started to build up towards the end of my ministry there, kids started coming to camp on Sundays, and they dropped a whole bunch of junk at the altar Sunday night at the service so that they were better prepared to hear God the whole rest of the week. So they made progress. They made steps. They were ready to walk into camp prepared for what God wanted to do. How can we teach them to do that every day? That was the goal. That's a tough thing. So maybe some of us are waiting for Sunday to come so we can come and hear about God again, so we can dump it all at the altar again and get charged up and ready for another week. You can do that every day. You can do that on your own. I hope that we're able to develop those things in our lives. Let me pray for you. We'll be done today. Father, we so desire this close, personal, intimate relationship with you. That's really at the core of our heart. It's what you designed us for. And every one of us is driven to find that thing, to be able to be close to you and intimate with you, to be able to know your heart and to know your voice, to be able to hear your thoughts, to be able to know what it is you want us to do in life. But our sinful nature fights against that. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come into our lives in a powerful way and that you would show us what it is to let go of sin, what it is to say no to it, what it is to let go of those barriers of intimacy and to grab a hold of those things that build intimacy in our relationship with you. God, that you would define our relationship on truth, on who you are and how you relate to us. That you would teach us what it is to let go of those false things that we have in our minds. Teach us what it is to trust you. Teach us what it is to move forward without fear, that we can have that close relationship with you. And God, I want you to use us as your tools to expand your kingdom. I want to see your kingdom expanded in our lives, in our families. I want to see our kingdom expanded in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. I want to see this city be a city that honors and glorifies you. God, I know that starts with me. So I pray that you would teach us what it is to be closer to you, and that we would do that today, and that we would do that tomorrow, and that we would do that each day this week, and we wouldn't wait until Sunday to be able to lay it all at your foot again here in the altar and be able to hope to get reconnected to you. But God, that you would teach us how to do this each day, many times a day, as we are going forward in our lives, as you are with us at all times. So God, we love you. Humbly admit to you that these things go against my nature. I pray that you would teach me what it is to follow hard after you. And I pray that we would do this together as a family, as a body of believers, as your church, striving for the things that you have for us. So God, send us from this place with these things close to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad you're here. Hope you have a great day. You're dismissed.